If you would, open up to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. I knew it wouldn't happen. I knew everybody wouldn't sit on the same side, no matter what happened. But as we continue talking about tithing, I want to just kind of cause your minds to go back and remember some of the things that we've already talked about. As you go through and look at it, we've already kind of answered some of these questions, but I want to hear that you still remember. Does tithing automatically make you righteous? No, it certainly did not in the Old Testament. When you think in terms of tithing, we normally just think in terms of it's just 10%. But did the tenth come from the first or the last of the tenth? The last. Unless, and then once all that was gathered up, the Israelites gave it to the tribe of, they gave it to God, and God gave it to the tribe of Levi. And then the Levites, were they responsible for a tithe? Did theirs matter whether it was first or last? Yes. What about theirs was different? They had to give the best of the best. In other words, they gave what was completely dedicated to God, and they could not keep it for themselves. Then we also looked as we went through it, was the tithe mandatory or voluntary? Mandatory. It was not something of free will. It was not something you said, well, I just desire to give this. It was, this is what God has commanded. And so, as we went through it last week a little bit, what happens whenever you start to take what is God's? Remember what happened to Hophni and Phinehas? They died. And God made sure that Eli knew why they died. He says, there's a sign for you. You'll know that they died because of me, because they're both going to die on the exact same day. And sure enough, that's what happened. And actually, we didn't look at it, but Eli dies on the same day too. Then, we went a little bit further. The purpose of the tithe was to learn to fear the Lord your God always. And then we got to look at the part about everything as it comes together. They got to share in this meal together with them. So often we don't think in terms of a tithe as getting to share in together. And who are they never supposed to forget? Number one, don't forget God. Number two, don't forget the Levites. Because this is their portion of the inheritance. Now, I want to grab just a verse or two here out of Deuteronomy 26. Look at verses 14 and 15. He says, I have not eaten of it while mourning. This is about the people, what they're talking about to God. Nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor offered any of it to the dead. I have listened to the voice of the Lord my God. I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Verse 15. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground which you have given us, a land flowing with milk and honey as you swore to our fathers. And so the idea is, we offer this tithe to you, and what is the expectation of God's people? What will God do with them? He will bless them. And if you remember, we probably should have read verse 12 as well. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. And the idea is, we do this out of reverence for God. And every third year, if you remember, they didn't partake of it themselves. They gave it to, in their own town, to the priests, and it was spread around to these others who were there. Now, what we're going to go through the rest of the night tonight is I want to show you at least one story in the Old Testament whenever they cared about the tithe and to see what God did with them. Then I want you to take a look at another story to see where they don't care about the tithe at all and see what happens with them. So, look over at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to do a little bit of reading tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29 verse 1. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now, his father was not known as a righteous man. But Hezekiah comes in, and he's going to do what's right. And if you notice the description that's given of him, what does it say? He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. What's David known for? A man after God's own heart. And Hezekiah is described, he did it just like David did it. Without, well, he had his own hiccups, but they're not the same as David's. Then, so note, here's Hezekiah the king. And it doesn't take him long. Look at verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. Notice, what does he do from the very beginning? Yeah, he says, it's time to set this house in order. It's time to get things all moving in the right direction. He goes and he opens up the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know how you read that, but what does that tell you about the way things were? It was in disrepair for sure. It had been, we would use the term, neglected. It needed some work. Now, you see this? He starts going through, making all these refinements. I want you to look over at chapter 31. Because if we go through everything in between, we'll run out of time. 2 Chronicles 31. They're still refining, still going through things. They've just reinstituted the Passover at the end of chapter 30, and hopefully we'll get to that in February. But 2 Chronicles 31, verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah, broke the pillars in pieces, cut down the Asherim, pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin, as well as in Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had destroyed them all. Then all the sons of Israel returned to their cities, each to his possession. So what happened after they celebrated the Passover? What did they basically go back and do? They completely ripped the idols away from their hearts. They destroyed them. They said, look, this is not where we're going. Utterly destruction to all those things. Then, verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites, for burning offerings, for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. So, let's set this thing in order. He says, and if you, I don't know how well you remember it in the Old Testament, a priest didn't serve every week in the temple or the tabernacle. They served about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks at a time. They had rotations as they went through. But whenever you were working, you didn't get to sit down. You were always making sacrifices. And you can read more about that in Hebrews. Remember where it talks about every priest stands daily offering up sacrifices day after day, can't take away sin. What does that tell you? Well, you get some rest at night, but not much. Then it talks about Jesus dealing with sin. He gets to sit down. So, here they are. He gets things set up in the divisions, orders right, so they can get this thing to function the way God intended. Look down a little bit further how it continues. Verse 3. He also appointed the king's portion of his goods for the burnt offerings, namely for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons, for the fixed festivals, as it was written in the law of the Lord. Pay close attention to verse 4. Also, he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. What was their portion? The tithe. He says, don't forget them. Why? What's the reason given? Why? To make sure, remember, to give them their portion. That they would devote themselves to the law. Now keep in mind, these people had gone so far away that they didn't even realize what was going on. Now that things have kind of been put back together, make sure those priests have time to devote themselves fully to the law. So they understand the way of God. So, when the people of Judah here, Whenever they would make sure and be faithful to God in giving the tithe, what else did it help? Widows and orphans, but specifically here in verse 4. You give your Levites time to really know the law, and in turn, that helps the nation to do what? Live by it. They've already gone home and ripped away all the idols. Now it's time to make sure that we know how to be devoted to our God. So in giving them this portion, that meant the Levites, they're going to have make sure they're devoted themselves to the law of the Lord. Notice how it continues. Verse 5 and 6. As soon as the order spread, the sons of Israel provided in abundance the first fruits of grain, new wine, oil, honey, and all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of all. They bring it in. This is, if you want to think of it in these terms, this is like a big restoration. They had gone so far away, but now that Hezekiah comes in, now everything is going to move toward devotion toward God. You start getting the pieces in order, everything else starts to fill in the way that God designed. Then, verse 6, the sons of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, the tithe of sacred gifts, which were consecrated to the Lord their God, and placed them in heaps. In the third month, they began to make the heaps and finished them by the seventh month. 4 months worth of it. You just imagine watching it grow in front of your very eyes. Then, verse 8. When Hezekiah and the rulers came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and His people Israel. Who did Hezekiah give the credit to? God. In the same way that we kind of read earlier in Deuteronomy 26, if you'll set things in order, God is going to bless you. And He took care of them. They decided that we're going to dedicate ourselves to Him, and they bring this stuff in from the third month to the seventh month. And Hezekiah blesses the Lord, and he also blesses who? Interesting. You devote yourself to the Lord, you bless Him, and what does He turn around and do? He blesses you back. He wants to encourage such behavior. Verse 9. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. In other words, what are we going to do about all this? Ever had blessings too big and go, what do you do with that? Well, verse 10. Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, said to him, since the contributions began to be brought into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat with plenty left over, for the Lord has blessed His people, and this great quantity is left over. Notice. What do they notice? We have leftovers. How do you treat leftovers at your house? Shove them in the back of the fridge till they turn green, then throw them away. Here's what I want you to notice. Who had been going through the difficulties all along? Because when the people don't give the tithe, who's hurting? The Levites are. Now that they have an abundance, they're going, wow, we're getting to eat well. And then to go, what do we do with it all? Now, here's where he continues. Verse 11. Then Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. They faithfully brought in the contributions and the tithes and the consecrated things. And then it goes into a list of the different men that are there. Here's what I want you to notice. It becomes so abundant, they have to have rooms to put these things. Well, all right, we'll put it into modern day for a second. We got too much stuff for our house. So what do? Well, if you're a hoarder, you just keep it. But what do? Garage sale? Well, we want to keep this stuff. What do we do with it? Well, it's time to find a storage shed. Well, here they are. There's so much stuff, they have to have a place, so they make rooms for it. So you see this happen, and the Lord just continues to bless them over and over again because they're devoted to Him. Even in the things that are just a tithe. And I want you to realize, sometimes taking a tithe is very tedious. They start talking about garden herbs and things like that, even cattle. That takes time and it takes effort. And they are devoted, and God is showing them a return. So I'm going to bless you back. And now it's so big they go, what are we going to do with it? How's that for a blessing? Thousands and thousands of people. So, you start to see this picture. He continues to take care of them. Now, Hezekiah does make his mistake. He gets proud because there gets to be so many things. But he makes a move back to the Lord. And then there's a time of great, great need where the Assyrians come down and Sennacherib comes through, and they are completely surrounded and what would probably be outnumbered. And Sennacherib's saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to destroy you all. He says, you might think your God's got something, but he doesn't on me. And then you can read more about it in 2 Kings. God sends the angel of the Lord in one night and destroys 185,000 Assyrians in one night. God didn't just do it because, well, you know, those people are doing okay. Here's a people who are going to be devoted to God, which includes the tithe. And he takes care of them. Even when they're met by a great challenge. You see devotion toward God with the tithe, and God respond with protection. Now, let's look at a different story. Look over at Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king of Babylon. His name was Artaxerxes. Now, if you're pregnant, I don't recommend that name. But if you want to, it's your choice. Artaxerxes. He's the king of Babylon. And so, as it comes about, Nehemiah is his cupbearer. And in turn, one day Nehemiah is sad. Artaxerxes asks him why, and he tells him about his homeland is in disarray, talking about Jerusalem back in the land of Palestine. So, he sends him. Nehemiah becomes the governor of Judah. He sends him back. Things are in disarray. It almost sounds just like the days of Hezekiah. Whenever Hezekiah becomes king, it's all in disarray. It's time to put things back in order. Here comes Hezekiah. I want you to look down and if you wonder about is Nehemiah really the governor, look at verse 1. Then look down a little bit further to verse 31 of the same chapter. They start to set things in order. As for the peoples of the land who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them or on the Sabbath or a holy day, and we will forego the crops the seventh year and the exactation of every debt. This is about doing what God desired. Are they supposed to keep? Well, you ever had somebody at work say, I'm going to take a sabbatical? What does that mean? They're going to take a break. Originally, what did it mean? Every seventh year, what were you supposed to do with your crops or your fields? Rest them. You don't farm anything, and you just give them a break. And the Hebrews did it out of honor for God because that was His command. Well, let's put some pieces together for you. Remember how that they had a special thing every 3 years with the tithe? The third year was supposed to stay within their own town. Well, if you have... Let me get my fingers right here. If you have 7 years, and the third year, you keep it within your own, and then after another 3 years, you do the same thing, and then on the seventh year, guess what? Well, you don't plant anything, so there's not a tithe of grain to come in. Take that year off, then you start again. All right, let's see if we can do it again. See how God had it set up? It's like it has order, isn't it? Like it's thought out, not just a whimsical kind of thing. So, seventh year, the people had gone so far away of what was going on back home here in Jerusalem that even the people were coming in to sell grain on the Sabbath day. And the Hebrews were like, woohoo, another day to do business. And God's saying, you're not honoring me. You're not devoted to me. So, honor all, exact every debt. Exactation was you forgive every debt. Then, verse 32. We also placed ourselves under obligation to contribute yearly one-third of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. One-third of a shekel. This was for the house of God. You remember the story in the New Testament with Peter? Someone asked, does your master pay taxes? And he says, yes. And then he comes back to Jesus, and Jesus says, go fishing. He says, you got to go pay the 2 drachma tax, the temple tax. Well, here's where it started. So, you notice the picture here. So we see those same things run later on down the line with Jesus. And that's in Matthew chapter 17. You come back here, verse 33. For the showbread, for the continual grain offering, for the continual burnt offerings, the Sabbaths, the new moon, for the appointed times, for the holy things, and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and all the work of the house of our God. Everything's for that. Verse 34. Likewise, we cast lots for the supply of wood among the priests, the Levites, and the people, so that they might bring it to the house of our God, according to our fathers' households, at fixed times annually, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. And that they might bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all the fruit of every tree to the house of the Lord annually. I want you to realize this. Some of the Levites, they were basically just lumberjacks and wood splitsmen. That's what they did. Because if you're offering up fire every day, morning and night, guess what you're going to need a lot of? Firewood. Especially trying to do that out in the wilderness, out where it's hot. Wow. No wonder they got a portion. No wonder they got an inheritance of the tithe. So, you start to see the picture here. They set that up where everything can continually go through. Verse 36. And bring to the house of our God the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, as it is written in the law, for the priests who are ministering in the house of our God. Here we come back to it, verse 37. We will also bring the first of our dough, our contributions, the first of every tree, the new wine, the oil to the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites. For the Levites are they who receive the tithes in all the rural towns. Once again, what do they realize has to be taken care of? The Levites. Remember, they're doing a lot of work. You see, you think it'd be easy for a Levite to kind of get the name of, well, he doesn't do anything anyway. When the people of Israel grow dull, what are they not offering very much of? Not very many offerings. So they start to look at Levites and go, what are they doing? Why should we give them anything? And then all of a sudden, do you see it just start to crumble? We're going to see here in a few minutes. There's going to be Levites. There's no tithe. There's nothing to eat. So guess what they're not going to do anymore? They head back out to go farming because they want to eat. What do they leave behind? Their priestly duty. Now, see how one affects the next. Notice how it continues, verse 38. The priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites, and the Levites receive tithes. And Levites shall bring up the tenth of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. Here they come again. Now notice, they're having to give the best of the best. They're given a tenth of a tenth, the tithe of the tithe. Then, verse 39. For the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contributions of the grain, the new wine, and the oil to the chambers. There are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers, and the singers. Singers. We'll talk about them in a minute. Thus we will not neglect the house of our God. All this is tied around not neglecting what? God's house. Because the moment that the people of Judah give up on the tithe, what happens to the house of God? It starts to fall into disarray. And all of a sudden, are they being devoted to the Lord anymore? No. Everybody kind of starts falling away. It's almost like one person shirks responsibility. The next person says, well, I'm not going to do my part then. The next person says, well, I'm not staying around for this. I'm getting hungry. I'll just go back and I'll just farm my own ground. You see, you start looking at the tithe and to go, boy, when this thing falls down, everything falls to pieces. It doesn't fall to pieces because there's a lack of tithe. It falls to pieces because there's a lack in what? Devotion to the Lord. Now, he goes through all these things, and I want you to notice, where are they putting all this surplus of things? Chambers. We're back to storerooms, just like it was back there under Hezekiah. He started the storeroom business. Well, now we're going through, we'll make sure we put it in the chambers. Well, we'll see if this can go awry pretty soon. Look over at Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah 12, look at verse 40. I just want you to look at the little first sentence. I don't want to read through all these names. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 40. Then the two choirs took their stand in the house of God. Now, these two groups, they're referred to here as choirs, but they're there to sing songs on behalf of a praise to God. They're Levites. Skip down a little bit further to the end of verse 42. We're in 42, read to get to the period, then we're going to start. And the singers sang with Jezrehiah, their leader, and on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. Now that they're getting things back together, what's the spirit within the people? They rejoice. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have any joy in my life anymore. What do you think the first question should really be? Are you devoted to the Lord? Because when joy leaves, it's not because God left us. It's because we left Him. Now that they come back dedicated to God, rejoicing, men, women, children, everything there in Jerusalem. Verse 44. On that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores. Look what we're back to. The contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes. Together unto them from the fields of the cities, the portions required by the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served. How does Judah feel about these men who serve? Oh, they're great. You can imagine they're bringing in their tithe to give to the Lord and they're going, well, this is going to go for them too. This is fantastic. This is wonderful. They're rejoicing. They're excited. Verse 45. For they performed the worship of their God and the service of purification together with the singers and the gatekeepers in accordance with the command of David and of his son Solomon. Who set up all these singers? You can look back at David and Solomon and see more of that. Verse 46. For in the days of David and Asaph, in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. Leaders of the singers. Do we have a name for that nowadays? Song leader. They had them way back there too. Isn't that funny? Here they were, and they were even taken care of. Songs of praise. These were Levites, by the way. And hymns of thanksgiving to God. So all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah gave the portions due to the singers and the gatekeepers as each day required and set apart the consecrated portion for the Levites. And Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. In verse 47, when he talks about the consecrated portions, what are we talking about? We're talking about the tithe. Remember where it talked about in earlier weeks about it being holy, being the holy portion? It's the consecrated portion. See how this thing just continues to go? Here they are. It's like, and everything was functioning the way it was supposed to. Remember, why was Nehemiah so upset before Artaxerxes? Everything over in Jerusalem was in disarray. Now how do things look? Oh, we've been restored back to devotion to God. But wait, there's a hiccup to come. Chapter 13, look at verse 4. Well, Nehemiah has gone back to Babylon to be with Artaxerxes for a little while. And while he's away, this is what happens. Verse 4. Now prior to this, Eliashib, the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of our God, being related to Tobiah. Now notice, what's Eliashib's job? He takes care of the chambers. What do the chambers have in them? That's where you keep the stored up tithes. All right, this makes sense. But here's where it goes awry. Being related to Tobiah, verse 5, had prepared a large room for him where formerly they put the grain offerings, the frankincense, the utensils, and the tithes of grain, wine, and oil prescribed for the Levites, the singers and the gatekeepers, and the contributions for the priests. What word sticks out to you? Formerly. Didn't take long, did it? Didn't take long at all. And all of a sudden, one of the priests says, well, I'm related to you. Well, why don't we just empty out this room of these things and you just stay there. You live there. Do you have a right to do that? This is a place that's dedicated to God, not to your relatives. People ever do that in life? They show favoritism toward their relatives as opposed to putting God first. Well, let's see what God has to say about all this. Verse 6. But during all this time, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had gone to the king. After some time, however, I asked leave from the king, and I came to Jerusalem and learned about the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah by preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. He says, I came back and I was outraged. The evil to do this. Verse 8. It was very displeasing to me, so I threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. He says, you're out of here, bud. I don't care who you're related to. He said, but Eliashib, I don't care. You get out of here. Just threw him out. Yeah. Verse 9. Then I gave an order and they cleansed the rooms and I returned there the utensils of the house of God with the grain offerings and the frankincense. He says, clean this place up. We're done with you. He says, let's get this back on track. Notice how long it takes to get away from God. It doesn't take long at all. Then, notice verse 10. I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. Oh, who got neglected? The Levites. So the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away each to his own field. What do? I like to eat. I can't stay here. Can you imagine being a Levite and you go up to the storage chambers? And Elisha is supposed to be over this. And you go, it's supposed to be in here. Well, I'll just go look for myself. Well, why is your relative Tobiah in there? Oh, I want to give him a place to be. I'm leaving. I'm out. And they left. They left their responsibilities. One bad turn. They didn't say, well, you need to be dedicated to the Lord. They said, I'm out of here. Forget it. And they went back where? To their own fields. Then, verse 11. So I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Then I gathered them together and restored them to their posts. All Judah then brought the tithe of the grain, wine, and oil into the storehouses. He says, I reprimand them. Whenever you hear that, what do you think of? This is not a, you know, I think you guys may be doing something wrong here. No. It's time to do it the Lord's way. Are you going to go with the Lord or not? Because you're not going to be staying here. And he puts it right in front of them. And notice, why is the house of God forsaken? That's who you've left behind. And you notice it and you see it pretty clearly here. Priests were supposed to be known for doing and teaching the Word of God. They were to be known to be able, whenever people needed instruction, to come and learn from them. They in turn said, if we don't get this, we're gone. We're out of here. There should have been more devotion there. I want you to turn over to the book of Malachi. Look at Malachi chapter 2. I'm going to give up early. I'm going to try and fit this in. You turn over to Malachi 2, and I'm going to keep reading here in Nehemiah 13 for just a second. He says, all Judah then brought the tithe of the grain, wine, and oil into the storehouses. In charge of the storehouses, I appointed a certain man, and he puts everything in order, and he puts men there who are reliable. They're dependable. And then Nehemiah says, remember me for this, O my God. Do not blot out my loyal deeds which I have performed for the house of my God and its services. He says, don't hold this against me. I didn't do it. And everything gets set back in order. Now, over here in the book of Malachi, which chapter did I tell you to turn to? Okay. I didn't know if I already fast-forwarded or not. Malachi chapter 2. Look at what the priests are supposed to be known for. Look at verse 7. For lips of the priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people. just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Had Eliashib shown partiality? What did God prove? Through Nehemiah. You can't do that. He reprimanded him. Threw out Tobiah. Didn't care anything about that. He says, we're going to be dedicated to the Lord. The time of Malachi comes around. This is just about 400 years before Jesus. They'd gone back to the exact same things. The priests were worthless. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. And you come to find out, he says, you're being partial and you're not teaching my ways or my word. Notice what else this affects. Look down at chapter 3. Look down at verse 7. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? As if to say, we never left. What do you mean return? Yeah, they say that. We're still Joseph's people. He says, it's been happening for a long time. You need to come back. Verse 8. Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? But you say, how have we robbed you? He says, are you going to rob God? And they say, well, how would we ever do that? How would we rob God? He says, in tithes and offerings. He says, you robbed me. Imagine God looking you in the eye and saying, why'd you steal from me? Why'd you take what's holy and mine? Who do you think you are? Verse 9. What happens when you take what's God's? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Malachi finding a lot of people who are on the common ground with him out of dedication. He says, you're all robbing me. All of you. The whole nation of you. And you're cursed because of it. Verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. He says, try me. And this is not a charge to us. It's a charge to them. He says, you have robbed from me just like your fathers did. You don't think I can take care of you. Just try me. Give me the tithe and you see what happens. He says, I'll give you so much that it will overflow and you won't know what to do with it. Verse 11. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. He says, guess what was known for coming through? Taking all the grains and the vegetation. The devourer, we would probably think in terms of locusts or grass, something along those lines. He says, I'm going to rebuke them and it'll all be yours. I don't know about you. How many potatoes can you really have around your house and get to them? How many tomatoes can you have and go, oh, we got too much? Look for unlocked doors of the church building. We'll give them away, whatever it takes. He says, you just test me. I'm going to give you so far beyond what you can take. He says, and bugs aren't going to get to them either. I'm going to hold them back. You'll know it's me. Then verse 12. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Here's what he charged them with. And I want you to see their response. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Now, who is God going to remember? Those who feared him and those who esteemed his name. Now, when you think in terms of this, we say, is tithing for today? Are we building storehouses? Nope. This is not for today. But you notice, when they didn't do it God's way, everything fell apart. When they were devoted to the Lord, even in these things, how did it go for them? It all went well. almost like it goes so good, you go, what's going to break? How long did it take him to get away from it? Not very long. But then to return, and God says, I've written it down, I'll remember you. And next week, Brent's going to go through and talk about Malachi and Abraham, and talk about tithing in Hebrews, and then talk more about present-day application about the offerings that we offer. All right. Have a good week. Be safe traveling home.